Brand new sugya, sort of. Chavtes and Beis, pretty much brand new sugya. The Mishnah went through all of the different things. I should have turned on the recorder after this. Now there's going to be a whole bunch of announcements. Wait for it, no? Okay. The Mishnah went through a whole bunch of things that a father has to do for a son, and we said all those things that a father has to do for a son, a mother has no obligation in doing these things. So one of the things that we mentioned is Lelamdo Torah, that a father has to teach his son Torah. So there are two elements of this sugya. There's the fact that a father has to teach his son Torah, and there's the fact that a mother does not have to teach her son Torah. So each of those things is worthy of at least a shir. So today we'll discuss the father teaching the son Torah. Tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem will discuss the mother not teaching her son Torah, which we're going to soon see is really based on the fact that the mother doesn't have to learn Torah herself, that she has no kliyav in Talmud Torah, which of course opens up a whole discussion as to what is our attitude toward women learning Torah. Is it a good thing to do, but she's not chayiv? Is it an absolute chiyuv? Is it not even a good thing to do? Is it an iser? So we're going to have to discuss that, God willing, starting tomorrow. But today I just want to discuss the fundamental chiyuv. How do we know that a father has to teach a son Torah? So the Gemara says, how do I know it? Because I read the Bible. Dichsiv, ulimadtem osam es b'neichem. Can't be more clear than that. You shall teach your sons. Great. So there you see that you have to teach your son Torah. If the father didn't teach the kid has to teach himself. Dichsiv, vilamadtem. Even though it's pronounced vilimadtem, there's no yud there. It's written. It's spelled vilamadtem. Vilamadtem means you should learn. So you have an obligation to learn. So a person cannot have an excuse. Oh, my father never taught me Torah, so I'm never going to learn Torah. No, if your father didn't teach you Torah, you got to learn Torah. Now, when? At what age? What age does that chiyuv begin? So pashtus. What age does any chiyuv begin? Bar mitzvah, right? That's the pashtus. We'll discuss that in a moment. How do I know a woman is not mechuyev in teaching her son Torah? Oh, dechsiv v'limadetem v'lamadetem. It's that word again, that it's pronounced v'limadetem, it's written v'lamadetem. So apparently there's some connection between teaching and learning. So kol shem mitzuva l'ilmod mitzuva l'lamed. Anyone who's obligated to teach is obligated to... anyone who's obligated to learn is obligated to teach. V'kol she'enu mitzuva l'ilmod enu mitzuva l'lamed. Anyone who doesn't have to learn Torah doesn't have to teach Torah. So a woman doesn't have to learn Torah. That's why she doesn't have to teach Torah. Where does that bring us then? How do I know a woman doesn't have to learn Torah? How do I know that she doesn't have to learn Torah herself? Oh, it brings us back again to that word again that we have learning and teaching connected to each other. If someone else was obligated to teach you when you were a child, then you have an obligation to continue learning as an adult. But for kol she'ein acher mitzuvin lelamdo, if no one had to teach you when you were a child, ein mitzuvah lelamed es atzmo, you don't have any obligation to learn as an adult. Uminayin she'ein, so great, so now I know. Women don't have to teach their sons Torah. Why not? Because they don't have to learn Torah. Why don't they have to learn Torah? Because no one ever had to teach them Torah. But uminayin she'ein acher mitzuvin lelamda. How do I know that no one ever had to teach them Torah? It says you should teach your sons, and we darshin velo b'noseichem, and not to teach your daughters. So that's the piece of women learning Torah, teaching Torah, that women don't have to teach their sons Torah because they don't have to learn Torah, they don't have to learn Torah because they don't have to be taught Torah, and they don't have to be taught Torah because that's what it says in Chumash. B'neichem v'lo b'noseichem. We darshan v'lo b'noseichem. Says Gemara, okay, but we know that a man does have to teach his son Torah. Well, just like every other obligation we've been discussing about the man, we have to talk about priorities. What if he's going to have to make difficult choices? So we discussed difficult choices of Pidyon HaBen. We discussed, do you do Pidyon HaBen for yourself or do you do Pidyon HaBen for your son? Difficult choices of Pidyon HaBen versus another mitzvah. Do you do Aliyah L'Regel or do you do Pidyon HaBen? What about difficult choices in Talmud Torah? Heartbreaking. A guy cannot manage to learn and have his son learn. One of them is going to have to work in the store. You know, the famous story of Rav Vadya Yosef when he was a little boy. how his father wanted to keep him out of yeshiva because he needed the help in the store. Imagine it was the situation that someone had to take care of the store. Do you send little Avadia to the yeshiva and you take care of the store? Or do you go to yeshiva and have little Avadia take care of the store? This very issue comes up in the Braisa. Tan Rabbanan, hu lilmod ubno lilmod? You or your son? So what would you say? I would bet if we would have asked any of us before we saw Kiddushin Chavtas and Beis, either you can go to yeshiva or your son go to yeshiva, everyone would say, your son, send the kid to yeshiva. Of course, the father has to send his kid to yeshiva. But if you think about it, why would we say that? Do we ever say that by any other mitzvah? Any other mitzvah in the Torah. You could do it or someone else can do it. Even if it's someone you love and someone you're very close to and someone that you're responsible for. Well, let's put it this way. Let's say you buy a lulav and esrog, you buy dalad minim. And you have children. I have Kanai Nahara, four sons. So I'll tell you what I do. This is honestly what I do. Maybe I'm a terrible person. I buy five sets of dalad minim every year. I buy one for myself and one for each of my sons. And the way I do it is normally, let's say in the shul, we used to offer a $40 set, a $60 set, and an $80 set. So I buy myself an $80 set. My sons who are over bar mitzvah, a $60 set. And my sons who are under bar mitzvah, a $40 set. I'm a terrible person, no? I'm taking the nicest one for myself. Shouldn't I prioritize my kid? Now, you probably don't think I'm such a terrible person. Because like people do that. Yeah, you take the nicer dollar minimum for yourself. But if I were to tell you, I'm going to pull my kids out of yeshiva, I'm going to have them go work in some sweatshop, they're going to sew together Nike sneakers all day or something in Indonesia, and I'm going to sit and learn. So then you say, wow, you're a pretty terrible person if that's what you're going to do. You're going to sacrifice the kids. Why? What's the difference? Why should it be any different? Zilberstein had the Shaila. This actually comes up a lot of times, unlike most of Zilberstein's Shailas. This one comes up. A guy was buying tefillin for his son. His son was becoming bar mitzvah. So he was buying tefillin for his son. Usually when buying tefillin for your son, it's the first time you ever think about and study what the different types of tefillin are, what the different hidurim are, what the halachos are in tefillin. Because your own tefillin, you were 13 years old when you got your own tefillin, you know nothing. You just, oh, thanks, Mom, thanks, Dad. You know, it was a part of your bar mitzvah. I like to thank Bubby and Zadie for buying my tefillin. You don't even know what it means. You don't know what they bought. If those things could be empty for all you know. Right? You don't know anything. But when you want to buy for your son, so you study it and you look into it. So a guy is looking into all the inyanim of tefillin and he finds the most, you know, had all the hidurim and how to make the most beautiful pair of tefillin to have it ready for his son. And then he thinks to himself, this is so much nicer than my tefillin. Why don't I just take these? I'll give my son an early advance on the Yerusha. I'll give him, the tefillin I've been using until now. They're kosher. They're okay. My parents want me kosher tefillin. So you're allowed to do that. So, I don't know. What would you say? You or your son? Who should get the better mitzvah? Well, Lulav, we were all okay with me getting the better mitzvah. I'm assuming you were all okay with that. You're all okay with me getting the better mitzvah. But tefillin, I don't know, all of a sudden we're a little skeptical. Talmud Torah, biggest rush in the world. Why? Why should it be any different? So what does the Gemara say? Who kodem l'bno? You come first. Father comes before the son. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im b'no zariz m'muluch v'talmudu m'skayim b'yado b'no kodmah. If the son has three qualities, he's zariz, he's m'muluch, and he's talmudu m'skayim b'yado, then the son would come first. What does that mean? If the son is a more capable learner, meaning when assessing who should do this mitzvah of Talmud Torah and who should be working, you have to take into account who can accomplish more in learning, which is an amazing thing. I would think just whoever's willing to do it. So the kid's not as smart as me. That should matter. He's going to be learning Yom HaVelayla. Who cares that he's not as smart as me? So, does it say smart? So, what does it say? Zariz. What's zariz? What do the words mean? It's tied to the words. Zariz. So zariz means that he's interested. He's going to be on top of it. He's going to be doing it. He's going to learn basmada. Memulach. What's memulach? He's going to be sharp. He's smart. Clever. V'tamud miskayim v'yadam. What's tamud miskayim v'yadam? He'll remember. Very often, memulach and tamud miskayim v'yadam don't go hand in hand. People are very sharp, like to rely on their sharpness. They often don't have the discipline to really retain the learning. If he has these three qualities, so yeah, being smart is part of it. And Rashi says, you see that the kid is going to be yatsliach mimenu. Not just that he's going to learn more hours, that it'll be more matsliach in learning. Well, why should that matter? You have two people sitting and learning Torah. One has a greater intellect than the other. So one of them becomes Rav Eliyashiv. No one had the asmada of Rav Eliyashiv. But let's say you imagine two people of equal asmada. And one of them becomes a Talmud Chacham, he's Mechaber Svarim, whatever he does, you know, he's great, he's learning. Let's leave out Svarim, because that adds more quantity. But let's assume, you know, one of them is sitting and learning. They're both learning 12 hours a day, all day long. And one of them is stronger in learning. So he has a greater Kima Talmud Torah than the guy who's weaker in learning. That he should win? Why should he win? I don't know, Zaris sounds like he'll spend more time, but that was not the only quality. Memulach, Talmud Meskayim
Biyado. Right, so it ends up being that you spend the same amount of time and you remember more than...
Why? Why does that matter? Is it a greater mitzvah if I'm sharper? I think the answer is yes. Meaning, what is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to learn Torah, certainly, on the most basic level. Spend every free moment you have learning Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to be mechadesh in Torah. It's a higher level, higher kima mitzvah. Mechadesh in Torah. To understand Torah. The depths of Torah. And that adds to the kavanah Torah. The more that you understand in Torah, the more that you see the depth of Torah, the greater the kavanah Torah. And there's a mitzvah to remember Torah, to know Torah, yediyas ha-Torah. If you learn Shulchan Aruch Rav and Hilchos Talmud Torah, he makes it very clear that there's a mitzvah of Yediyas HaTorah, to know Torah. That was one of the famous Rav Shechter lines that, you know, it's like, did he just say that? Where he once, you know, where he often says, knowing Kol HaTorah Kula is not so hard. Because it doesn't mean every Sefer that was ever written. It means Bavli, Yerushalmi, Medrash, Tanakh, you know. What is it already? It fits on one bookshelf. Yeah, okay. But to remember it, to know Torah, Yediyas HaTorah. So it could be that he's going to have a higher kiyum of Talmud Torah. But zelo fair. Why should he have a higher kiyum of Talmud Torah? Just because Hashem gave him brains, and Hashem didn't give me the brains that he gave him. See, he's going to be able to have a higher kiyum of Talmud Torah. Yeah, and someone who can afford a nicer lulav will be able to have a greater hidden mitzvah than lulav. You do your best. Echer amar bevecher amamru b'vachi yichavi li b'lashamayim. But the person is going to have a higher. So you prioritize the one who's going to be more capable of being able to be mekayim Talmud Torah. That's l'chora the pashtus in the Gemara. We'll have to see if anyone says anything different. That's l'chora the pashtus. And the Gemara says, I'll give you an example. Kiyad Rav Yaakov b'rei de Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Yaakov, the son of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, shadrei avu l'kamei d'Abayi. His father sent him to Abayi to learn. So the father sent the kid to learn. The father was going to work. But then they saw that the law of mechadin shmaite. What does that mean, the mechadin shmaite? He wasn't sharp in learning. He wasn't so strong. So the father said, "Ana adifa minach." What an awful thing to say to your kid. That's not in any of the parenting manuals. Say, "I am better than you. So you're out, I'm in." But it was just a statement of fact. Tovate is lana. You come back, I'm going to come learn because that's the halacha. Then the Gemara tells this fantastic story, this wild story, that Abaye had the old problem they have in yeshivas of a seven-headed demon that kept on bothering everybody. So he decided, oh, it's amazing, Rav Acha is coming to yeshiva, and Rav Acha is like a big tzaddik, so if we lock him in the Beis Medrash with the demon and, you know, battle to the death, hopefully it could be that Rav Acha might win, so it's Kedai. So he tells all the people in the yeshiva, don't invite Rav Acha to your house because we want to keep him sleeping in the Beis Medrash. And Dilmas Efshem to Misrachish Nisa, maybe a miracle will happen and he'll win. And sure enough, he davens and he bows seven times, and every time he bows, another head comes off of the demon. And wonderful. And next day, Rav Acha says to Abaye, that was not cool. What happened if a miracle would not have happened? That was not funny. But, you know, thank God a miracle happened, then all's well that ends well. Okay, so there's obviously what to learn about that story also, but, you know, not for right now. Let's focus on the Talmud Torah element of it right now. So the if you want to learn the halachos of Talmud Torah, the two most important places to look probably are the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, like, reorganized... You know, he really organized all of it, like he did with everything. He organized Hilchos Talmud Torah in a way that that's in a systematic way to be able to learn very clearly what exactly our obligations are in Talmud Torah. Shulchan Aruch HaRav reorganized it all. He didn't like the Rambam's organization. He changed it all. He didn't like the way the Shulchan Aruch organized it. He changed everything. Normally, Shulchan Aruch HaRav goes, I'll say the Shulchan Aruch pretty much. So, you know, with his own insights or whatever else. Talmud Torah, he reinvented everything. He reorganized the whole thing, the whole way Hilchos Talmud Torah is formatted. But very, very interesting, and he has a lot of fascinating insights in Talmud Torah. So first of all, let's start at the beginning of this Gemara. Gemara said, if the father doesn't teach his son Torah, Chayiv Yilu Migmar Nafshe, he has to teach himself Torah. So Pashut Pshad, if you look in the Sefer HaChinuch HaMitzvah Taf Yotes, he talks about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. He says, you have to learn Torah yourself when? Misha Yagdil, when you become a bar mitzvah. Why? Because that's when you become Chayiv in every single mitzvah, is when you become a bar mitzvah. The Rambam, Perek Al V'Loch Gimel, did you get a chance to look at the Rambam? Yeah? Do you have it? So, notice anything strange about that Rambam? What does he say? You have to hire a melamed for your son to teach him. You only teach your friend's son for free. Someone whose father didn't teach him, chayiv lelamid esatzmo, is chayiv to teach himself. Kisha yakir. What does that mean? Kishe Yakir. How do I know? Shnemer v'matam osam v'shmartam la'sosam. It says you should learn it and then you should observe it. So what's Kishe Yakir? What's Yakir? To recognize, to know, to realize. Realize what? Recognize what? If I was writing this Rambam, I would have said Kishe Yagdil. He's chayiv b'mitzvahs, bar mitzvah, something. Kishayakir. And then the Ram says, "V'chein atamotzi b'kol makom shatalmud kodem l'maisa, v'neishatalmud mevi l'day maisa." Whenever you have, we always find that learning is a prerequisite to action. You can't do mitzvahs unless you learn first, because meina maisa mevi l'day talmud. Action doesn't bring to learning, but learning brings to action. So learning takes precedence over maisa. You want to know, should I get involved in a project of mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, or a project of learning? Project of learning. And you'll see the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim will come. From the learning, you're going to want to incorporate the learning into your daily life. Into how you actually do things and live your life. But doing, you see that there are a lot of people that do chesed and all sorts of good deeds and all sorts of wonderful things. It doesn't inspire Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah should be the inspiration for everything else. What does that have to do with anything? Same halacha, you didn't even break that down into a separate halacha. What does that have to do with your father has to teach you, and if your father didn't teach you, teach yourself? What does that have to do with prioritizing, being involved in chesed, learning? Yeah, it's about Talmud Torah, so is all of Hilchos Talmud Torah about Talmud Torah. It's in the same sentence, halacha gimel. What's pshat? What's what I'm driving at over here? So in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he says, no, what the Rama, all the Rama say, you have the Shulchan Aruch HaRav? Yeah. Oh, you're the best.
Yeah.
Two places where I ask you to look, right? So in Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in Parak Beis Halacha Aleph, Mi Shalo Limdo Aviv Torah, Chayv Lamar Asatzmo Kishe Yakir, Shem Avmatav Shazmo Azum Esesh Talmud Torah, Al Kol Adam La'atzmo Lilmot Kol HaTorah Shebuchsa, Bishe Bal Peh Kula, it's a mitzvah to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, Ukshalom Ilatzmo Kishe Yagdil Viyakir Viyuchal Lilmod. When he's Yagdil. And you should start with Mikra and then Mishnah and then Talmud. We'll get into that later on in the year. So what did he say? Kishe Yagdil. So he threw in a word over there. The Rambam didn't say Kishe Yagdil. So he's paraphrasing the Rambam, but you know, the Rambam didn't say that. But he's saying Kishe Yakir must mean that you're old enough. Why does the Rambam use the word Kishe Yakir, not Kishe Yagdil? So what Shulchan Aruch Rav seems to be suggesting is, listen to how he says it. Kishe Yagdil v'yakir v'yuchal l'mor azai lo yomot tchila kol ha-mikra v'achaka kol ha-mishra v'achaka ha-tal m'kroshu esra l'mala b'na arim shen yichol l'mo mishra v'tal m'b'tchila ki zeh sheyachol eino rashay lasos kein ki mi yodea kama yichya. He says, I would not recommend, if you are first learning when you're a bar mitzvah and no one ever taught you anything, I would not recommend learning all of Tanakh and then all of Mishnah and then Talmud, because you might not live long enough. You can learn all of Tanakh, you're not going to even get to Mishnah, a person might die. Or you might get to Mishnah, you never get to Talmud, you might die. So I would not recommend that. That's for kids. When you're 5 years old, you learn Mikra. When you're 10 years old, you learn Mishnah. When you're 15 years old, you move on to Talmud. And you have a sprinkling of all of them throughout the rest of your life. Right? More than a sprinkling. But you have all of them throughout the rest of your life. But if you're first starting when you're 13, it's too late to just do all Mikra. So maybe he's saying that the Rambam is saying Kishayakir, because Kishayakir means that you're already at a Madrega where you're able to understand deeper levels of Torah. Normally when you start learning Torah, all you can understand is Mikra. Voracious Bar Elokim. It's like the hardest thing to understand. But all you can understand is is the basic psukim. But over here you're dealing with someone whose first learning is going to be Kishayakir when he's old enough. So he should recognize that that should affect what he learns. Since he's already at a stage that he's Shayakir, he should learn more things. He should diversify his learning a little more and not just keep it in Mikra. So that's how the Shulchan Aruch Rav seems to explain the Rambam. The Rambam means Kishayakdil. But he uses the term Kishayakir because the fact that you are Yakir means that what you're going to learn is going to change. Because it's not just that you're a bar mitzvah, you're chayv mitzvahs. No, you're Yakir. And therefore, it should affect the curriculum. That's what Shulchan Aruch Rav seems to say. However, it doesn't seem like the most pasha pshat in the Rambam. L'chora, the most pasha pshat in the Rambam is entirely different. Beis Halevi is a drush about Talmud Torah, a tshuva about Talmud Torah, where he talks about Tzvei dinim in Talmud Torah. That there's a din of Talmud Torah qua Talmud Torah, that you're learning because learning is valuable. And even though you don't see many oxen goring cows or whatever, you learn to learn. And every lumdus you see in Reb Chaim and whatever svarim you're interested in, all the fancy lumdus may not affect anything halacha lemaisa. But you learn because it's Dvar Hashem, and that's Talmud Torah. But then there's this other element of Talmud Torah as a Hechsher Mitzvah. That Talmud may be Lidei Maisa. That when you learn, you have to learn in order to know what to do. Because how are you going to know how to put on tefillin if you didn't learn what the mitzvah of tefillin is? How are you going to know how to eat matzah if you don't know what the mitzvah of matzah is? You got to learn in order to know what to do. And on that level, Talmud Torah is a Hechsher Mitzvah for every other mitzvah. So there's Tzvei Dinim in Talmud Torah. There's Din in Talmud Torah, Midin in Talmud Torah, the mitzvah itself of Talmud Torah. And that every word of Torah is Dvar Hashem, and it's therefore inherently valuable, whether it leads to anything or not. And then there's Din of Talmud Torah in a Hechsher Mitzvah for whatever other mitzvahs you're learning how to do. Women, for example, are not Chayiv in Talmud Torah, as we just mentioned. But women are chayiv in the Rama writes in Yaradeya, and everyone agrees, no one disagrees with this, that women have to learn those halachos that are nogea to them. What do you mean? Why do they have to learn those halachos that are nogea to them? That's Talmud Torah. I thought women are part of Talmud Torah. They have a chiyuv to learn halachos that are nogea to them? Yeah, a chiyuv. Why? because they have to do the halach said it'll get to them. Everyone agrees women have to be orthodox. They have to be shomer Torah mitzvahs. How are you going to do it without learning about it? You have to know what to do. So kuli alma lo pligi, right? There is that level. At what age does a young man become chayiv in mitzvahs? Is he going to be expected to put on tefillin every day and eat a kazayis of matzah and daven three times a day and do all these things? At what age is he actually chayiv in mitzvahs? Not a trick question, just a simple question. Bar mitzvah. But if a woman has to learn halachas that are nogea to her, because it's impossible to observe halachas if you haven't learned them. It's impossible to observe halachas if you haven't learned them. So what do we do with the 13-year-old? His father never taught him Torah. He's never learned anything. Chayiv in mitzvahs, right off the bat. He's never learned anything. What do you want from him? Elamai, the system is set up in such a way where it must be that he has some level of chiyuv before his bar mitzvah to prepare, to learn what he's going to need to know in order to be able to do mitzvahs as soon as he becomes bar mitzvah. So is he chayiv in Talmud Torah qua Talmud Torah? No. Talmud Torah as its own endeavor in Avodas Hashem, in learning the Dvar Hashem because it's the Dvar Hashem. I would say Torah Lishma, but they're both Torah Lishma. It could both be Torah Lishma. Even if it's going to help you do mitzvahs, that could still be Torah Lishma. But Torah Shalol Menas Lasos, that only kicks in when he's bar mitzvah. But Lilmol Menas Lasos may have to start earlier. That might be what the Rambam's saying. V'chayiv liskor melami lebeno lelamdo. You have to hire someone to teach your kid Torah. Ve'enu chayiv lamid ben chaveru lebechinam. Fine. Mi shelo limdo aviv. A guy whose father didn't teach him. Chayiv lelamid es atzmo kisha yakir. Not kisha yagdil. He didn't say kisha yagdil. You start learning kisha yakir. Shenemar. What an interesting choice of psukim. Limaditem osam? He could have stopped right there. Learn them. Ushmartem la'asosam. What's ushmartem la'asosam? Do them. Observe them. Why is he quoting that? What are we talking about observing? We're talking about learning. No, because he's talking about the learning that will have you observing. V'chein atemotzi b'kol makom. Talmud kodem l'maisa. Same halacha, not a different halacha. Not somewhere else in the Talmud Torah. We always find Talmud kodem l'maisa. You got to learn in order to do. Mimnesha Talmud maybe l'idei maisa. Because how are you going to know what to do if you don't learn first? It's pretty straightforward now in the Rambam, no? He's not talking about when you're bar mitzvah. Because by the time you're bar mitzvah, you're ready, ushmartam la'asosam. You already have to know how to do them. So in order to know how to do them when you become a bar mitzvah, there needs to be some preparation in advance. What's the preparation in advance? Kishay yakir, when you're old enough to be able to do it. To be able to learn what you're going to need to know. The third approach to the Rambam, that's my favorite personally. The third approach to the Rambam is just that it's a gears of problem. That it's not kishay yakir, it's bischar. And even if it costs you money, you got to pay for it. Okay. You know, essentially the other two approaches in the Rambam play with the words of the Rambam. Change the words of the Rambam. This one keeps the Rambam. Keeps the words of the Rambam. It's a very great chiddush, though. Sure, it's a great chiddush to say that he has a chiyuv before his bar mitzvah. A chiyuv of preparation. Because that sounds strikingly similar to the chiyuv of chinuch. Doesn't it? I mean, what are we saying the chiyuv of learning is? A chiyuv of learning so that you'll be able to do. That's chinuch. Chinuch is to train a child so that he'll be able to do. So is the Rambam saying that on a d'oraisa level, a child is chayiv in chinuch of himself? His child is chayiv in mitzvos midin chinuch? So he's not saying that because no one says that. Chinuch is Rabbanan, and it's a big machlokes rishonim whether it's the father's chiyuv or the kid's chiyuv. Rambam can't be saying that a child is chayiv in his own chinuch midaraisa. But what he's probably saying, or he might be saying, is there's a difference between chinuch in mitzvos. What does it mean, chinuch in mitzvos? What do we normally mean when we talk about chinuch in mitzvos? Yeah, get him used to doing them. Have him put on tefillin for a few months before his bar mitzvah. Have him fast a few hours on Yom Kippur. You know, get him used to the mitzvos. There's a difference between that versus learning what the mitzvos are. Because when he becomes bar mitzvah, even if there's a first time for everything. So even if he never fasted in Yom Kippur before, he could fast in Yom Kippur as bar mitzvah, even if he never did it before. Even if he never put on tefillin before, from wearing our Doraisa glasses, from a Torah perspective, he could do it the first time when he becomes a bar mitzvah. But what he can't do is learn the entire system on day one. There has to be some learning involved, some intellectual learning involved, just to know what the mitzvos are. And we showed him, talk about the value of just learning the mitzvos, learning what all the mitzvos are. So there is some value in that, just learning all the mitzvos. That maybe is a chiv daraisa. How could I say that there's a chiv of Talmud Torah daraisa on a kid? On a kid, a chiv daraisa? Well, let's assume you hold the mitzvah of chinuch applies to the father, that a father is mechayev in chinuch. Let me ask you something. The mitzvah for a father to teach his Torah, daraisa or derabanan, teach his son Torah. It's clearly daraisa. We just quoted the pasuk, "Mamat Moslem Smenechan." Father teaches son other mitzvos. Rabbanan. That's Rabbanan. That's chinuch. Rabbanan. So teaching Torah is daraisa. Teaching mitzvos is Rabbanan. There's a difference. So it could be midin atzmo himself. The father didn't teach him any Torah. So just to prepare himself to be able to do the mitzvos. So to get used to practicing the mitzvos to Rabbanan. But to learn what they are so that he can do them, that's daraisa. L'madtam osam, shmartam lasosam. That could be that's a mitzvah daraisa. Rav Asher Weiss has a big discussion about the mitzvah of chinuch. And he says, you know, I don't understand this whole notion that chinuch is drabanan. What did the Torah imagine exactly? That you can have a kid for the first 13 years of his life, who's eating ham sandwiches for lunch every day, wearing his shatnez clothing, come up with other things. Never ate matzah in his life, never, wore tzitzis, never, was disrespectful to his parents, and then all of a sudden, bar mitzvah, boom, everything hits. Now you got to... If you say chinuch is rabbanan, so the Torah imagined that he would be a guy for 13 years, and then bar mitzvah, mazel tov, now everything, all at once. How could that be? So he develops this notion called ratzon haTorah, that it has to be that the ratzon haTorah was that there be chinuch, and the rabbanan just formulated, they just formulated in a, to make technical obligations. That when he knows how to do it, that's when you do this, and that's when you do this. But it has to be that there is a din d'oraisa of being mechanech your children. But one could have argued that the din d'oraisa is to teach. And whatever they do, they do. Limud, maybe lidei maisa. It's natural. When you teach what the mitzvahs are. That's what the Rambam is talking about over here. Limud is maybe lidei maisa. You teach them and they'll incorporate, because you incorporate what you're learning about and what you're hearing about. So we don't have to tell them, you must do this now. The Torah says that we honor our parents. The Torah says we don't wear shatnez. The Torah says we don't eat ham. With the Torah, and they'll start doing it. But there may not be a mitzvah chinuch midaraisa. Now midrabanan, we said, okay, we got to be a little more on top of things. Cut on a yodel the satif patzitzis, so put on tzitzis. Yodel lishmar tefillah, give him some tefillah. Cut the yodel in anea, give him a lula. Okay, that's all midrabana. But midaraisa, all you have to do is just teach Torah. What kind of Torah? You don't have to teach him kachim and sharsha nagach and all. Teach him the kind of Torah that will prepare him for mitzvahs. Right? That's l'chora. I mean, additionally, you have to teach him Mikra, then when he's been Chamesh, the Mikra, when he's been Esther, the Mishnah, etc. That's okay. So I think that might be Pshar in the Rambam, no? Did you notice that? Kishayaki, it's a strange Lashon. I think that actually might be Pshat. So, I mean, not like, I'm not trying to say that everything else I ever told you is not Pshat, but I think that might be Pshat in the Rambam. When he's old enough to understand. Why Kishayakir, not Kishayavin? Yigil chinuch, because it's dindar raisa, so he doesn't want to use yigil chinuch, lashon yigil chinuch. Why kisha? Where else do we have kisha yaki? Yeah, it's different. I'm not sure. We got to look at that. We got to do a search. See when the Rambam uses kisha yaki. Do we ever have that anywhere else? Do Chazal even use that lashon? I don't know, but it seems. But what it does seem to indicate is some level of development that's before bar mitzvah. That's when the responsibility comes, because he has to know that bar mitzvah is going to come, and when it comes with responsibilities, and the only way to prepare for those responsibilities is through learning. Another point I wanted to discuss: the Gemara discussed over here, hu lilmod ubno lilmod. So who called them Libna? You or your kid, you come first. And then the Gemara said, with the exception of if the kid is more talented, then the kid comes first. But otherwise, who called them Libna? Why? Why is it who called them Libna? Why would you come before the kid? Sanu, this isn't the first time we've had anything like this. Why is it who called them Libna? What do you think? Where else did we have it? Start with that. What? Top of the Amud, Pidyon HaBen. Who lift those up and all lift those? Mitzvah de Gufei. So Pashto says you would say the same thing over here. Mitzvah de Gufei Adif. And it's your mitzvah. Also, it's more than that, Lachor, over here. Because, you see, by doing Pidyon HaBen, there's no din that in order for the pidyon to be chal on your child, you need to be already niftes, right? You need to be pre-redeemed in order to redeem the kid. So as a possibility, the possibility could have existed that you'll be poda the child without having been poda yourself. By Talmud Torah, just the nature of Talmud Torah doesn't really lend itself to that. Because you can only teach things that you know. And the chiyuv is really on the father to teach the son Torah. It's impossible for the father to teach the son Torah if the father doesn't know Torah. So it could be that there's an additional element over here. That hu lilmod, ubno lilmod, hu kodem ubno, A, because mitzvah de gufei, but in addition to mitzvah de gufei, you also have that additional element of... it's just not going to work otherwise. Good. You hire someone and then you can fulfill the mitzvah. But that already relies on shlichus. And first mission, the second parak, Ish Mekadish Bo B'Shlucho, says the Gemara, we see from here, mitzvah, Bo Yosef B'Shlucho. So you're already opting for a less than optimal fulfillment of the mitzvah when you hire someone else to do the mitzvah. So in order to do it optimally, you need to do it. But in order to do it, you need to learn. But it may be more than that also. Since teaching your son Torah is a mitzvah, so teaching your son Torah is a mitzvah like taking lulav and eating matzah and wearing tefillin and tzitzis. What did the Rambam say? You have a choice to be involved in mitzvahs or to learn Torah. We just read the Rambam, right? You have a choice. Be involved in mitzvahs or learn Torah. What do you do first? Why? Talmud may be l'day ma'isa. So you have a third factor over here. that you should learn first because Talmud is maybe the day Maisa. Meaning, when it comes to Pidyon HaBen of yourself, Pidyon HaBen of your son, it's Pidyon HaBen of yourself is Maisa, Pidyon HaBen of your son is Maisa. So they're both Maisa. So then you have, what should I do first? When you have Hu Lilmod or B'no Lilmod, it's either Limud or Maisa. B'no Lilmod is Maisa. Me learning is Limud. Well, we know the rule is Limud Kodem, because I Limud may be the day Maisa. So you have three reasons that Limud should come first. Each significant. Number one, Mitzvah Deguvei Adif. So we always have that. But even without Mitzvah Deguvei Adif, the nature of Talmud Torah is that I cannot teach it until I learn it. And it's a Limud versus Maisa issue. So Limud is maybe the day Maisa. What? Is learning yourself a little bit, but it's the highest form of Talmud Torah is when you're being most challenged. So you're teaching him Aleph Beis, you're teaching him Lashon HaKodesh, you know, the Tosef says that's a key of Talmud Torah, teach him Lashon HaKodesh. It's not the highest challenge. You already know you're hit by El and you're, you know.
So it's not just it's how high of a level.
Yeah, it's also, right? Ruchayim Vlozhner writes. And Rav Shachayim. That it's Bittul Torah B'Kamus and there's Bittul Torah B'Echus. So if you could be challenging yourself and your brain is fresh and you're ready to go at a serious sugya, and you're like, you know, read some inspiring, whatever. So that's Bittul Torah also. It's not the worst Bittul Torah, but it's Bittul Torah. It's not the same as playing a video game or whatever, but it's Bittul Torah. Okay, so but I'm saying, but then it's Maisa. That's Maisa. Rav Maisha has a very interesting tshuva. Rav Moshe has an interesting tshuva in Ebenezer Chil Dalsim Chavavos Dalid, which maybe we'll start with tomorrow because I have a meeting right now. Rav Moshe deals with how much of your time you're supposed to give up in general for other people. Meaning, why should I ever help anyone in learning? My learning should always come first. So a very famous tshuva about how much time to give up for other people, and specifically, whether that's a good thing. Meaning, let's say I'm supposed to come first, can I then allow my son to go first? So that's maybe we'll pick up with that tomorrow. In Dibros Moshe over here, he has what to say about this also in the Masifta they quote. And we'll also maybe briefly discuss what if the father and the son are of equal capability, right? So it sounds like who called them, we said in the Gemara. Is that second opinion arguing? But no, Zara is Memulach, or is it qualified? Yeah, I agree who called them, but if the son is more talented, then he comes first. Meaning, is the fact that the son is more talented so significant that it outweighs everything we just said? All those factors we just raised? So we'll have to talk about that tomorrow, and then we'll get into women learning Torah.